Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 30th, 2018, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 164, the second paragraph. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, reading through three sentences, ending with "Disclose more to you and us." And we'll be commenting on those three sentences. Today's readers are Penny L.C. for the 12 Steps, Marissa E. for the 12 Traditions, and the readers of our text are Libby E., Julie E.B., and Stephanie L. The share ID for yesterday, Thursday, November 29th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,243. That's 12243. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, meeting is 12,246. That's 12246. And our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Penny L.C., if you could read the 12 steps, please.
Thank you, Kathleen. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you, Penny L.C. And Marissa, if you could read the 12 traditions, please.
This is Marissa E., a recovered compulsive overeater from outside Los Angeles. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me do service.
And thank you, Marissa E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 164, the second paragraph, beginning with "Our book is meant to be." We'll be reading through three sentences, ending with "Disclose more to you and us." And we'll be commenting on those three sentences. So good morning, Libby. Could you get us started, please?
Thanks, Kathleen. Good morning. I'm Libby E., recovered compulsive eater in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. And, you know, I just love the incredible humility we read over and over in this book. It says, you know, this book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. We're being told that, you know, this is a suggestion. This is what worked for us. You know, realize it doesn't say that this is a requirement. The only requirement is a desire to stop eating compulsively, because we're not playing God for anyone here. It's all about humility. And, you know, for me, recognizing that this has worked for other people and nothing was working for me, and that insanity that I did the same thing every day and I thought that I know, but it wasn't working. So, you know, realizing that I know only a little was the first step, and it continues to be what is working for me today, because coming from years of struggling and relapsing, I had to pray for an open mind and an open heart for a new experience. And when I realized that I don't know, that everything I tried failed me, you know, that's when I became willing to follow these suggestions in this book. And I picked up the simple kit of spiritual tools laid at my feet. And I stopped thinking, I know. I just followed these suggestions. That's when I started getting well. And, you know, today I could sit back and I know I don't have the answers. And I can allow God to disclose himself more to me. I can listen. I can get quiet. I can have an open mind. And all I need to do is the next right thing. And God discloses himself more. I need to let go absolutely. And then God can come in and make possible the impossible. Because where did my thinking I know take me? Always to more suffering, more unmanageability, more relapse. But when I realized I know only a little, that's when I became open-minded, honest, and willing. And that's when God disclosed himself more to me. And, you know, it's truly amazing how following these the suggestions in this book which has worked for the first 100. They followed these suggestions and they recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. Their life was changed, you know, and following these suggestions and realizing that I know only a little, it's just so amazing where that can take me. It can take me to a place I never thought possible, that I can be free today. No, I don't have the answers, and I don't know what's good for me, and I don't know what's good for you. But what I do know today is that if I follow these suggestions and I work these 12 steps, like my life depends on it, I will be okay because God will disclose himself to you and to us. So thanks for allowing me to share, and I pass.
And thank you, Libby E. So we're going to open the lines for anyone who wants to share on these three sentences, starting with the second paragraph on page 164. So I'm ready for some names.
Gina R.
Okay, I got Gina R. Who is after Gina?
Deborah.
Melanie
Cooley.
C. Is that Deborah?
Yep.
Okay, and Melanie C.
Robin S.
Okay, and I got Robin and somebody F.
Janice P.
Oh, wait. Who is right before Janice there with an S?
Lisa.
Lisa S.
Lisa A.
Lynn S.
Oh, Lynn S. Okay, let's stop there. And Janice. Okay, so I have Gina R, Deborah. You'll have to give me your initial. Melanie C, Robin, Lisa A, I think it was, Lynn S, and Janice PM. I think I have that right. Okay, so Gina R, go ahead.
Thanks so much, Kathleen. This is Gina R, gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, and I am a compulsive eater living in Green Valley, Arizona. during my step two experience, when I was coming face to face with a healthy dose of agnosticism inside a belief system that I thought was pretty stable, I realized that I actually needed to accept the concept of being stupid about some things. And I started to actually pray in my set-aside prayer, God, if it means making me stupid, I am willing. And I know that may sound kind of stupid or harsh or whatever to some people, but for someone like me who was born being a little know-it-all, that was something that I had to do. And at the time, I didn't even know what the definition of the word stupid meant, but it just means lacking ordinary quickness and keenness of mind, kind of being dull. And I basically had learned how to weaponize my smartness. I could verbally shred people before I had a chance to even really know what they were wanting to do or to get to know them. And it created a lot of havoc. I stepped on a lot of toes and I hurt a lot of people, including myself. So if you really are interested in having a change in your life, you may need to go to any length to get it. And for me, that included accepting a prayer. And it worked. I am now a lot more dull, and it's not in a negative sense. I'm not so sharp and so quick to find fault in others. That has been refined in me. And I count that one of the promises. And I'm so, so very, very grateful that more will be revealed. And I am on this other side of that equation. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Gina R. And Deborah, you're up. You're up, followed by Melanie C. Or wait, did I get? Yes, Deborah. Go ahead, Deborah.
Good morning. This is Deborah P. from Northern California. So grateful to be on this meeting this morning. This really hit home for me. Lately, over the last 3 months, I've been in treatment for major anxiety and depression. And I've really learned through this process that I needed to take like a different path with my recovery. God just, my God, just took me out of a really bad situation and put me in a place where I could relax and let go and let him work on me and turn things around so that I could see them, like put the puzzle pieces together. And it's been an amazing process. And I could not have done that without having done the 12 steps. I couldn't have done that without the recovery that I've already experienced. And it took my recovery to another level. I graduated from that program yesterday or Wednesday, and I'm actually headed out, headed to Maryland in just a few hours by myself to go visit a friend as my kind of present to myself, leaving my husband at home. And, you know, God has just revealed to me so many things, and I'm just so grateful that that I was willing to do the work, that I was willing to suit up and show up, and so much for one day at a time. We're talking 1 minute at a time. I never knew what one thing at a time, 1 minute at a time meant. And I'm learning and continue to learn about just one thing. What is the thing that I am responsible for doing right now at this moment? And my cat's crying in the background. Sorry. I'm just so grateful to this program. I'm so grateful to my higher power. I'm so grateful to you folks for being here every day. Oh my gosh, this would not be possible. I'm just so grateful for the peace and the experience and the knowledge that and the willingness. So my name is Deborah P, and I am on the list, so I could use some calls too. So thank you very much.
And thank you, Deborah P. and your cat. Okay, Melanie C., you're up next, followed by Robin. I think it's Robin Joe B., if I have that right. Go ahead, Melanie.
Thanks, Kathleen. Oh, good morning, everyone. My name is Melanie C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling in from Oregon. And I was reading this in its totality, each sentence connected to the other one. And as I come along in my recovery, I've taken them apart, looking at each one of them separately. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And I had learned early on when I came into these rooms about a little bit about my personality, that I might do better and come along better, I suppose, if maybe a few words weren't quite as direct, you know, for me. This word suggestive is very nice in its essence. And then yet, on the other hand, my sponsor shared with me that the entire program is suggested, but it is a package deal. It comes like this. These are the parts, and I take each part out of the beautifully wrapped box and utilize it in sequence. Yet the suggested part is, do you want to use it or not? Would you like to use this or not? In its way, in its totality, that was a suggested piece. Not that intricate pieces of this could be ferreted out and I would take from here and take from there. That's not how I understand it to be suggestive. It's, if you're going to do this, we suggest that you try it, but this is the whole package. Try it in its entirety and see how it works out for you. I have a comparison, and when I first came in the rooms, I was so afraid, and that was years and years ago in 1989, and I sat in the back of the room and watched and observed, you know, to try to take it all in. It took me a long time, and so I did take things piecemeal. I heard what I thought that I needed to hear, and as it turns out, with that approach for me, it didn't work very well. And so I had 17 years of relapse, very, very painful descent into this disease. The other part is that we realize we know only a little, and the more that I'm in here, the realization of that is very clear to me. I came in here with the package of what it was that I had in destruction, and a lot of that was advice giving and needing to have a way with people so that I could feel good about myself. And we may be all familiar with that kind of positioning in our lives. And the more that I'm in here, honestly, I know less and less, and I'm very, very content with that. It's quite exciting to be content with that. And then this last 3 years have been just a bumper crop of God, of God, of God in my life, that He is constantly revealing more to me, and I'm not threatened by it. I am able to see it and utilize it and capitalize on it in terms of growth and desire that I'm reaching for in a way that I could never have done before with enthusiasm. I'm on the verge of excitement all the time about the next possibility in each and every moment. And what a powerful three sentences. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melanie C. And Robin P., you're up next, followed by Lisa A.
Thank you, Kathleen. Thank you, everyone who's sharing. God bless everybody in your recoveries. I love this meeting so much. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, Robin P. in Los Angeles area. And I love these sentences. These are some of my favorite sentences in the book. And, you know, this whole relationship is about God and connecting to God and being of service to my fellows and to God. And gosh, if you know, when I came into this program, if someone told me that, oh yeah, you're going to get abstinent so you can, and you'll see that you'll want to be of service to God and your fellows, I would have said, oh, I just want to stop starving myself, binging, vomiting, restricting, all those things. I just want to stop the hell. You know, I just want to stop overeating. Whatever stage I was in, God was the last thing on the list. I didn't even believe in God. And now God's the most important relationship in my life, and it's everything that it says in these sentences is the truth. But it was the furthest thing when I first came into the program. It was in New York City at Moravian Church in New York, and you know, I saw God on the walls, and I just went, oh, no. You know, the steps were on the walls, and they had the word God in them. And I just thought, I need this help so much, but there's God here, you know. And they just substituted one addiction for another. You know, I was gone, and somebody just said, if you just believe in a power greater than your addiction, just the willingness to have willingness. And so it, you know, how I recover is honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, and that this power, great events will come to pass, and they are. And, you know, right now I'm in this, you know, I feel like there's different times where I'm in this real strong faith walk, you know, where, you know, having literally been through the fires here and getting married during the fires and being very close to the fires a few times and just praying, dear God, please, show us your will and help us to do it. Please, God. And literally being led one step at a time, praying and listening, and literally being led through the fires because we got stuck in Malibu. So I feel like it's a metaphor for me that I get to practice that in all of my affairs so that I can be of service to God and my fellows and live the life that God has for me. And as it says later, treasure the Lord a happy destiny. You know, and I love that it says that's the great fact for us, you know, that they're so humble about it, but they're right and they know they're right, you know, and that they give you this formula for living. All we have to do is follow these steps and these principles. And I'm so grateful because I feel like I've had an experience that really made it clear, like, we don't know where we're going to live. We just keep praying. Dear God, show us your will, help us to do it. And that's step 11, and living in that is a good thing. So God bless everybody in your recovery for that I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Lisa A., you're up next, followed by Lynn S.
Good morning. This is Lisa H., compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Thank you so much for your service. That's a lot of names to get at one short period of time. And what really draws me in is the word constantly. You know, God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. And what occurs to me is, how do we get to constantly? How do I get to where God is constantly disclosing more to me and to us? You know, on this line, I hear often about people talking about how God has disclosed things to them. And so what I know is, if I'm going to get to that place where God is constantly disclosing more to me, I'm going to listen to the suggestions in this book. I'm going to follow the suggestions of this book. I'm going to have to put down my alcoholic binge foods. I mean, that to me is the first step in clearing away this mental fog that I was in, and clearing my brain and my body of these substances that I was using for ease and comfort. The next thing was, clearing away the wreckage, you know, trusting God first, figuring out who that is, what that higher power is, what that higher power is to me. I love that, the proposition that either God is everything or he is nothing. You know, what's my choice to be? Well, my choice was I had to make God everything. I had to make God the first thing I did in the morning, talk to God through the day, the last thing I did before I went to bed at night. But it had to be, and I'm very much a one day at a time person. But each day it got a little bit better. I got a little bit clearer, you know, clearing away the wreckage of my past, and give freely. What I found is getting me closer, getting me to the point where I'm listening and I'm aware and I'm slowing down enough and quiet enough that I can listen as God constantly discloses more. You know, we're going to learn something new, something more every day. But if I follow if I follow the suggestions of this book, I get to that place where I can actually absorb and listen to what God is saying to me, through me, and through you. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Lisa H. So Lynn S., it is your turn, and you'll be followed by Janice P.M.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. We realize we know only a little. This line, I can remember a couple of years ago, it just smacked me in the face. I felt these 100 people who wrote this incredible God-inspired book are saying they know only a little, and I, Lynn Skilling from Toronto, Canada, OA demigod or whatever I thought I was, knew it all, you know, and I just thought, oh my God, the hubris, what was I thinking? What was I thinking? And yes, I had had physical recovery. And yes, I was a big book thumper. But did I have emotional and spiritual recovery? No. And to think, you know, it brought me to tears. It literally did. And it was so funny because I had been in relapse for 8 years. And it took the last two of those 8 years for me to finally become humble enough to be able to be teachable, to learn something, to be able to put the food down, to be able to let God in, because I knew it all. I knew the big book backwards and forwards. I was in AA all over the place, even though I didn't have a drinking problem, but I was there because always the weak sister, don't you know, and they don't know anything, and back and forth to Akron and blah, 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 blah. And that's all it was blah, 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 blah. Thank you, God, that somehow there was enough something or other to let God in and to release all this meanness. And, you know, I know this and I know that, and to realize that I'm the one flat on my face in the food and others aren't. And what I know is not working. But, you know, imagine for these people to say, we realize we know only a little. My God, look at all the lives they saved. They saved my life. I am so grateful. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lynn S. And we're going to have Janice PM. And after Janice, we're going to open the lines up for some more people who would like to share on those three sentences. P. page 164, the second paragraph, our book is meant to be, and we'll be reading three sentences. So go ahead, Janice P.M.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning to everyone. My name is Janice P.M., and I am grateful, no matter what's going on. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Our book, that means it's for you, and it's for me, and it was for them. This is what it means to me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Now, I know it's all been said about the word suggestive, because I can put, you know, my little two cents about, you know, I read it as optional. This is optional. You know, when I first came in and I said, oh, suggestive, okay, that means it's a suggestion and it's optional. You know, you have a choice. You don't have to do this, you know. Of course, you don't have to do it if you've got the solution. But it's optional because the first 100 knew only a little about the word, you know, and about what was a spiritual experience. They only knew a little because Bill W. was only, I believe, 4 years abstinent, recovered. And so they were learning all the time. They had the answer to recovering, you know, because Bill had, you know, like I said, was recovered only 4 years at the time. And the word suggestive in this context is just, it means it's a starting point. It's a beginning. Boy, how true that is. It's only a beginning after you put the food down and you go to this program. The purpose of the program, which is the 12 steps, we find a higher power. Now, my higher power, I choose to call God. See, so this is after the fact. They went through the 12 steps. So now I have this God in my life. Wow. If I didn't do this suggestion, and it is only a beginning. It's only a beginning, trust me. Putting the food down is easy. People say, I used to think, oh, my God, how am I ever going to do that? Well, life is the problem. You know, me, I'm the problem. Life isn't. I'm the problem. That's why I need a higher power every single day, because our life changes. Husbands die. Medical, you know, cancer, whatever other, you know, comes to us. And I need this God. I need him. So this is what it means. It's only a beginning, and it's the beginning of living a spiritual life. And with that, I'm going to pass.
And thank you, Janice P.M. Okay, the lines are open. Who else would like to share on those three sentences?
Charles H.
Beatrice O. Carrie K.B. Beatrice O.
Linda G. Hold on. I'm going to back up. Who came after Charles H.?
Beatrice O.
Jackie A.
Wendy M.
Jackie
Sherry
A.
KB.
And I got Sherry KB. Wait, who was after Jackie?
Wendy M.
Oh, somebody came in real scratchy. Okay, I'm going to tell you who I have. I have Charles H., Beatrice O., Sherry KB, Jackie H., Wendy, not sure which Wendy. Anyone I missed?
Linda G. Reggie O.
Was it Reggie O? And I'm sorry, someone else, but they're really, really scratchy. So I'm going to stop there and we'll see how we do here. So Charles H., go ahead, followed by Beatrice O.
Thank you very much, moderator, for your service. Charles H., I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. You know, I learned how to shut up on this line for me. I learned that I had a learning disability. I learned that I didn't have any humility. I learned that I have a disease. I learned that I need to learn more. I learned how to listen, and I listened to learn. And there was something powerful on y'all 4 a.m. time meeting this morning that I learned from somebody. You know, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, right? I learned that this person said something so simple and profound. The more I think I know, the less I'm going to learn. It was so powerful. It hit me like a hammer. Bang! And like, you know, listen and silence is spelled out of the same letters, right? And it took a long time because, you know, I could identify with all the shares around the telephone circle world, right? That, you know, there is no opening. There is no opening if I think I know it already. If I think I know, I'm not going to learn. You know, and, you know, of course we're enthusiastic and we love this message. But, you know, I learn to love more. I learned more tolerance. I learned more patience. I learned that I was belligerent. I learned that I was trying to be like Jason on the 13th of Friday of any month. I learned that I'm dishonest. I learned that I'm self-seeking. I learned that I'm fearful. I'm a fearful little boy. And the more I know that, the more humility and the more I can be able to learn more so that I could be a vessel. I learned that I'm a disconnected cell phone that need to be connected to a power source greater than me. And I learned it's time for me to pass. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Charles H. Beatrice O, followed by Sherry KB. Go ahead, Beatrice. Beatrice, can you press star 1 to unmute? We are not hearing you.
Hello, this is Beatrice O from Los Gatos. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
So the part where it says God will constantly disclose more to you and to us, in order for me to get connected to my higher power, I have to pray and meditate and slow down. And I have to acquire that God consciousness that Bill talks about in his story. I know that it's mind, body, and spirit, but for me, that fourth dimension is that supernatural, that God. I can't get connected to God if I'm really busy. The way I get connected is I pray, I meditate, and I have to be on that same frequency. You know, it's like the AM and FM radio. I was on AM and God was on FM. And all that static of the world was always interfering because I had personal motives. I needed like figure it out anonymous because I had to explain and figure out what God really was to me. And, you know, I can't explain God's miracles. I have a limited mind. But I've gone from not just believing in God, but I've come to a place of knowing. And that knowing is that self-love and compassionate recovery. And I don't want anything more than an intimate personal relationship with God. I want him to be my BFF, my best friend. And it's that relationship that I have to put time into in order for me to have that God consciousness and to help me throughout the day. You know, and the rest of the steps for me are, you know, I was a wounded child. And I have to clear out the records from the past in order for me to hear what God's telling me. My therapist says that my abstinence is a choice. And I've been in relapse for 10 years and I know it's not a choice and I stopped arguing. But I feel that God's hand, he heard me. And he's given me a reprieve. And I have to and want, and I'll pass, and I have to and want to have that relationship with God. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Beatrice. Okay, my friend Sherry, you are up next, followed by Jackie H. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Kathleen O. Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive reader. Thank you so much for your service, Kathleen O, and everybody on the line. And it's so good to be on the line. And welcome all newcomers. Wow. I love that they've decided to only do three sentences today, because these are powerful sentences. This book is suggestive only. And that, to me, that's what this is all about. All throughout the book, it even talks about the steps are suggested only. Everything is suggested because we heard earlier this week some history around this book, and a therapist back in the day in the 30s said, you know, talked to Bill and said, if you sit there and try to shove this down their throat, they're not going to take it. They won't stand for it. Please don't do that. And, you know, I definitely could be in one of those clubs. If you're going to shove something down my throat, I'm going to be out the door in 10 seconds flat. Don't tell me what to do. But I want to tell you what to do.
Sherry, we lost you.
Oh, no.
There you are.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. When I was taken through the book, all I could hear this voice in my head saying to me, Sherry, can you stay teachable? Can you stay teachable? You've been around a long time. That doesn't matter. Being in these rooms, however many years you've been in, has no bearing because you haven't learned much because your ego has gotten in the way. And you need to stay teachable. That's what I learned about it, is if I'm open to stay teachable, I'm going to learn a heck of a lot more. And to continue in that state of being and set aside my old prejudices. And then God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. I realize I know only a little. Notice I skipped over that. I do know only a little. Even yesterday I had a conversation with my husband that blew me out of the water because I realized something about myself even then. You know, I think I know what's right for him, but you know what it is? I think I know what's right for him, but is it really right for him? It's right for me. But I thought it was right for him, and all of a sudden I had this huge pause, and it made me realize God was in there talking to me, saying, Sherry, you don't know. And that was a spiritual moment for me. It really was. It just really opened me up. So God is constantly disclosing more to me. And just that I always think of, you know, trust God no matter what it looks like. Trust God no matter how long it takes. And trust God, I'm going to be okay no matter what. As long as I'm in this book and I'm willing to learn and stay teachable, my life is changing constantly, thanks to God. And God constantly needs to be with me, and that I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. And Jackie H., good morning. You're up next, followed by Wendy, I think it's Wendy M.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Jackie H., recovered in Colorado. Wow. As I was reading this morning and as I've been listening to all of the shares, I just have such deep gratitude that I was led to this program and that I have received what I have today and that I can turn around and give that away. When I first started here and started doing the steps, I really wanted just relief. The thought about step 12, I thought maybe I can just step that or just skip that one. I don't really want to take the time to help somebody else. And as I went through the steps and did the process and trusted the process, now I'm like, oh my gosh, how could I not pass this gift on to somebody else? So with that, I'm really grateful. So back to three little sentences. Our book is meant to be only suggestive. I like what's been said about that. I also see that, you know, the book is suggestive. Here it is. You can do it. You can't if you want. But there's a lot of musts in here. It may be suggestive, but there's a process. There's a that we go through. The steps go through in a certain order. And so I like the thought of being suggestive only. But if I'm going to really take this whole program and take it as a package, I really need to be tenacious, and I really need to be willing and surrender to the suggestions, because there is an end result here, and that is a spiritual awakening, a spiritual awareness that can't be compared to anything ever. This truly has been an easier, simple way for me. We realize we only know a little. Wow, I was so full of so many concepts, so many beliefs, and I'd been in 12-step for a while as well, so I had a lot of beliefs around that too. And when I came in, like I said, I came in as a little child, and because I did that, I just was so teachable. I wanted to show up teachable, and God has revealed so very much to me, and I'm so grateful. And God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Every day I am enthralled by what God has for me and what's going on here and what I'm able to pass on. And it says here that he'll constantly disclose more to you and to us. That "and to us" is beautiful to me, because every time I talk to a fellow on the phone, people about this, God does reveal more to me through them. This is a beautiful, beautiful WE program, and I am amazed every day. And so with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jackie H. Okay, we have three people in the lineup. I think if you each take 2 minutes, we might be able to fit you all in. So Wendy, I think it's N, followed by Linda G.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M, recovered gratefully in Boulder, Colorado. Thanks for everyone and for your service, Kathleen. And so first of all, we realize we know only a little. Thank God, right? Like, I spent my life trying to figure everything out. That's how I was trying to manage an unmanageable life. And thank God. And, you know, when I say I don't know, which I say more and more and more, that's a revolutionary sentence. I and don't and know. I have no idea. You know, and when I start with I don't know, that's when the miracles can happen. That's when, you can crack open that space for God to enter. I don't know, but God does. So that sentence is a spiritual experience. It opens up my mind, and it humbles me, and it says, oh, thank God I don't know, because when I don't know, that is freedom. When I'm trying to figure it out, I'm in bondage to self, right? So I get freed up every time I say I don't know, every time I do the set-aside prayer, set aside what I think I know. Oh, thank God, get out of the way, Wendy, get out of the way. And, you know, God constantly reveals himself to me. I experience God all the time, all the time. When I'm honest, when I'm on my knees, when I'm talking to a sponsee, and that sponsee is revealing her own secret, shame, whatever, that is God working in our lives constantly. You know, God reveals constantly. And lately, God has revealed to me how to be a better girlfriend, a better parent. God said yesterday, you need to get out of the way. You need to get out of self, and you need to be other-centered. And yesterday, I made the decision to be other-centered, and suddenly my boyfriend was a different person. My son was a different person. I was so free. It was like God just said, yes, that's it. Just go there. Go there. Just go there. Be other-centered. Be of service. Just, dear God, please get out of the way. And I said, absolutely, God. And it was the most exhilarating and free moment that I've had thus far, aside from entire abstinence from selfishness, entire abstinence from self-centeredness. Oh, my God, I could choke. You know, it's exhausting to be me. It's exhausting to be in selfishness. And to be other-centered and of service to these people and only thinking, well, how can they be their best self? How can I help them be their best self and have compassion for them? That is the answer. That is God. That is the miracle that I'm experiencing today that 24 hours ago I was not experiencing, because I was choking on my own selfishness. And I don't say that to put myself down. It's just a fact. God constantly reveals, if I lean to God right now, which I did yesterday, I went right to God, God will run to me, embrace me, and show me how constantly. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. And Linda G., you are up next. Reggie, I'm not sure we're going to have time. So actually, we're not going to have time. And Linda, if you could do no more than 2 minutes, that would be great. Thank you.
Linda G., recovering in Massachusetts, and just listening to these three sentences and all the sharing on it has been a spiritual part of a spiritual awakening for me. And you all have taught me so much about looking up the words and the synonyms. And, you know, I'm looking and I'm saying, our book is meant to be inspiring only. We realize we know only a little. I know nothing. I do know in As Bill Sees It, that book he does write, we are only operating a spiritual kindergarten there. Well, I'm not even in that. I mean, I'm in nursery school. And that God will constantly disclose more to you and me. And that is so beautiful because for me, it's revealing more to me, uncovering more to me, manifesting more to me, unfolding more to me. And I'm just an early working these steps, and I'm grateful for a vision for you. Thank you.
And thank you, Linda G. And Reggie, I'm sorry we didn't have time to get to you this morning, but there'll be other times available. Okay, so we will thank you, everyone who shared this morning. We'll now close the meeting with a reading from the Big Book, page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Julie E.B., please read a vision for you.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And I just lost my page, and I will be 1 second here. A vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you could do each day with a man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you shall surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.